Let the class begin. All right, we are going to be picking up on our study on evangelism. So, Brother Gage, if you can hand out this test that we're going to give you. And we are wanting to see what you remember from last week. So, if you will get that. And I'll give you some instructions here as to what I want you to do. All right. Thank you, Gage. All right, I'll have you pass up some more here in a little bit. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is to put your name at the top. Please put your name there to turn in. And we are talking about God's love for our salvation. Now this is what I gave you last week. Now if you notice what I have here is, I want you to do this by memory. Don't go back and look at any notes that you might have, but point number one, God is blank, a God of blank who does not want anyone to perish. Go ahead and fill that in, okay? Okay, the second thing I want you to see is exposure. So in other words, we're trying to expose them to the Scripture. What was the verse that I gave last week? Now, let me just say, if you notice right down there, you may have a different verse you like to witness with. And so the verse that I'm giving you doesn't have to be the only verse that you could use. And if you are using a different verse, write that verse down, and then we will have you define how you would use that verse. But if you're using the verse that I gave last week, there were two words that I wanted you to emphasize in that reference. What are those? Number one and number two. I also mentioned to you an illustration. I gave a couple of illustrations. Maybe you have thought it through this last week and you said, well, you know, I think I like another illustration. So you could put that illustration down because I'd be very interested to see if you're just using what I have given, or I'd be very interested to see if you even thought about it at all. You know, so this is something that can be a help. And then write out an application. Okay, so how would you apply that to the individual you're talking to? And then finally, what is your transition statement? And I gave you those last week, so you go ahead and take a couple minutes to do that. On those illustrations, you don't have to write out that. Just maybe put a title as to what that illustration would be. All right? Did my wife get one of those, Gage? Thank you. All right. Very good. How many need more time? Okay. Give you another minute or two because we need to move on if we want to go home tonight. But if you want to stay for an extra hour, I'll soak it for as much as we can do it. All right? So, but we won't do that. How many need more time? All right. This is what I'd like you to do as well. John 19:30. Now, the Bible tells us, I'm not going to have you write out the whole verse. But the Bible tells us before Jesus gave up the ghost, he said these words. Write that on. According to John 19:30. So you can write that on the back of the sheet if you want to do that. And that would be fine. So what did Jesus say that helps us in our gospel presentation? Now, we didn't talk about this last week, but this is our memory verse for this week. Number three, okay, the third thing I want you to do, did you make a visit with your partner this last week? So you have a trainer, remember this? Some of you are trainers and some of you are trainees. Did you make a visit, a soul winning visit with your partner this last week? Now, you know whether that's yes or no. Number four, how many visits have you made with your soul winning partner in the last few weeks? How many visits have you made? That could be from zero to how many you did. All right? Now, let me just say on that, it's lighter now. One of the reasons we started the evangelism class when we did is because we knew it was going to be dark. So now here it is, 6:25, and look how light it is. You could very easily make a visit after 6, 6:30, and still go to somebody's home. Now, I've typically, in the past, when I've gone to somebody's home, I try not to get there after 8 or 8:30. So this could be a good time. All right, Brother Gage, would you mind collecting those? If you don't mind passing those into the center. And then I have something else I'm going to give you. And this is just for your information. This is the outline complete that I gave last week. I think I gave enough here. You might take one and pass that over. Take that one and pass that to yourself. All right. Did I give you enough there? Okay, good. 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't run into me, Gage. All right? Okay, thank you. There you go. 1, 2. Now, if you remember last week, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There you go. If you remember what we said last week, one of the reasons we give this point, this isn't typically the Romans Road presentation point, but I do like to give the opportunity, thank you, sir. I do like to give the opportunity to explain to people that God's good. And we're told in the Romans chapter 2 that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. We showed you in Jude that some save with fear, but some having compassion, making a difference. So we do want to try to do what we can to show that God is good. And this is very important because sometimes people get the idea that why did God do all this in my life? Why is all this happening? Well, we show them that point. All right. Okay, I have another outline for you. Okay. Brother Mark, can I get you to help Pastor Nathan hand these out? Maybe we can do this a little faster this way. And I'll take one of these. Thank you, sir. And sir. All right. Now, we're really getting into the meat of this evangelism presentation. Of course, we've spent a lot of time talking about getting to the gospel and, you know, and all the things that were involved in that. And we saw in point number one, can you say it with me? God is good, a God of love, who does not want anyone to perish. And as you saw on the sheet that I just gave you, God loves you so much, and He doesn't want to see you destroyed. But what we find is that many people are destroyed. Brother Dave, did you pull up the assignment sheet? Is that up there? It was up there. Okay, so you saw the assignment sheet. And basically, on that assignment sheet, just to keep in mind, next week is Romans chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. Now, I wanted to give you a sense of what I'm going to be doing on these points. So if you'll notice, I gave you a bunch of blanks, and I wanted you to be able to fill in those blanks if you can. So, and then I'll probably give you a little bit more of expanded outline just so that you can kind of have in writing some of the things that I've said on that. All right. Thank you, Dave. What's that? All right. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Okay, what we're doing is I see. So 19:30. Okay, let's do this. That's not what I have here. They're all good. Open your Bible anywhere, it's all good. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Why do I have that there? Romans 10:9-10. Okay. 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5. Learn 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so I don't have that verse next, but thank you. Appreciate that. When the right hand doesn't know what the left hand doeth, what do you do with that? Okay. All right. So we mentioned that God loves you so much He doesn't want to see you destroyed. Then the sad truth, however, is that people in our society are constantly being destroyed. Suicide, divorce, relationship issues, financially struggling, eternal destruction. There's all kinds of things that people are going through. So why is that happening? Now, the sheet that I gave you, did I give you that yet? Yes. The sheet that I gave you says that all men are sinners. And Brother Dave, do I have the clicker? Oh, there it is. Thank you. All right. So the Bible tells us, I think I need you to help me here, Dave, on that one, that all men are sinners. You can write that in. Sinners. All right? Now, I want you to go to the book of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. Okay, John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. My problem is I got too many papers up here. All right? So all men are sinners. John chapter 16. And we see in John chapter 16 this truth. It says in verse, here we are. Okay. So what we see here is that in verse 7, nevertheless I tell you the truth. it is expedient that I go away, Jesus said, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, I think all of you know who that is, right? Who's that Comforter? Okay, the Holy Spirit. Now, when he, verse 8, is come, he will reprove or he'll convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So what I want us to understand here tonight is something that I think will help. Because sometimes what we do is, I can say to you, the Bible says you're a sinner. Got that right? I'm a sinner. I'm just as good as the next guy. Because everybody's a sinner. Now think about that. What is somebody saying when they say that, you know, I'm just like everybody else? What they're saying is that sin is not that big of a deal. Now, when the Holy Spirit convinces of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, when he convinces people of sin, this is something that it really will help us in our giving the gospel to somebody else, to help them to realize sin is a problem. Sin is bad. You know, it's not enough to say, well, I'm not as bad as Hitler, or nobody's perfect. Because what that is saying, in essence, you know, I'm just as good as the next guy. So what we want to do is we want to use the Word of God to help convince this person that sin is a terrible, wicked, wicked thing. And what we are trying to show them is that you, and I'm speaking to an individual, you are a very, very bad person. You're very wicked. And so when I'm doing this, of course, I've just shown them that God is good, a God of love, doesn't want anyone to perish. But people are perishing. Why? Because people sin. Now, our key verse for that is, anyone know? Okay, Romans 3:23. This is, you know, we could talk about the Romans road, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I'm going to take you to some verses that I don't always have the Old Testament to take them to certain verses, but I also am not going to always take the time to show them all the verses that I'm going to quote. All right? But Romans chapter 3, if you go over there. Now, we want to have the Holy Spirit to expose them to the Word of God to such an extent that they recognize that they are sinners. And what does that mean? Now, there's two words. Now, if you remember when I had you read that sheet 20 times, how many did that? Okay, a few of you did that. And we had you in Romans chapter 3, we said there were two words that we wanted to emphasize. All right? The first word, and you can fill this in on your outline, the first word is all. Now it says there in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And notice what I've written here. This includes you and me. So this isn't, you know, let me point my finger at you and make you think how good I am. No, I'm a sinner too. We're all sinners. And if you notice, this includes you and me. And if God were standing here, and I many times would ask this question, if God was standing right here next to us, would you say you were as good as him? How many think you would be as good as God? Of course you couldn't. Very seldom would I have somebody say, oh yeah, I'm just as good as him. But the Scripture tells us that we come short of the glory of God. And we will never match God in His holiness, in His righteousness. But if you notice here, the second word we want to emphasize is that word sinned. So, all have sinned. Okay, so we want to try to spend a little bit of time helping people to recognize what this means. Because, again, we do not want people to think, well, that's somebody else who's really bad. What we're trying to show them is that they are really bad. So, first of all, if you notice here that sin is a heart problem. It's a heart issue. And the reason why we do bad things is because we have a bad heart. Jeremiah, if you hold your hand and you can, I think most of you have Romans 3 memorized, but Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it tells us this: the heart is deceitful above all things. Now think about that. That tells us that we are deceitful. Now when we're talking about a person's heart, we're talking about their inward person. The heart in the Bible will refer to your thinking process. It refers to your emotions. You know, we think about loving someone with all our heart. It also includes a person's will. And so the Bible here says that our heart is deceitful above all things. And notice these words. Can you read them with me? Desperately. Okay, some of you aren't looking at it or you're not talking. Okay, what is it? It's desperately wicked. So, why do I do bad things? I do bad things because my whole inner being is very, very wicked. Now, we need to back that up a little bit. So what do we mean by the bad things I do is because of a bad heart? So I rob a bank. I don't become a thief when I rob a bank. I became a thief because I'm a thief. My inward being is really very, very wicked. So what does that involve? Well, that involves that sin is a heart issue. And how is it a heart issue? Because sin comes from a selfish impulse. Isaiah chapter 53. Now again, I may not have an Old Testament to refer to somebody this, but I can quote this. And one of the reasons we want to always have these verses memorized or at least written down so that we can track them, you could always very easily in the front of your New Testament, or whatever you use to witness, write these references down so that you can refer to those. Or you might even want to do a chain where you would say, okay, I will go from John 3:16, right next to John 3:16, write out Romans 3:23. And then right next to Romans 3:23, you might have a verse like Jeremiah 17:9, or Isaiah 53. And so I'm just saying to you that it's good to have these verses because somebody could say, where does the Bible say that? And you'd be able to show them because you want to expose them to this. So, Isaiah 53:6. Can we read it out loud? All. Here we go. Okay. I wonder sometimes if you're looking at your Bible. Here we go. Isaiah 53:6. Here we go. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this is the all verse. The first word in that verse is all. The second last word of that verse is all. In all we like sheep have gone astray. And here's the problem. The problem is that we have an irresistible urge to want things our way. That is a problem. And if you notice what I have there in the notes there, so sin comes from a selfish impulse, Isaiah 53:6. Think of a child. Now, it was exciting to see all these children here this morning. And, and more to come. And it's exciting to think about that. But think about these children. They get in the nursery, and they get old enough, and they're just perfect angels, right? So what happens, here's a child fighting over a toy. Why would a child fight over a toy? And here's another child wants that same toy. And all of a sudden, my toy, my toy. You know, they hit somebody over the head or whatever they do. Spit on them or start pouting. You know, and why did they do that? Because they didn't get their way. And there's this irresistible impulse that is within every single person who's ever been born. Or you take, for instance, your marriage. You know, so here, you know, it's funny, really, and I shouldn't say funny, it's really precious when couples first get married. Man, they just can't do anything wrong. And they're looking at each other and they love each other and everything's wonderful. And then all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, somebody wants their own way. So the husband says, well, I want to go here. And the wife says, no, I want to go here. Or I want to have this. And the other says, well, I want to have this. And all of a sudden, that irresistible impulse to have their own way starts attacking each other, and they start fighting. And unfortunately, have you ever just wondered, wow, they seem to be so much in love, now they're wanting a divorce? One of the sad things I see as a pastor in counseling people, and I'm seeing somebody say, well, we're going to leave. I don't love them anymore. Or you take one nation. We could talk about Israel, and we could talk about, is it Hamas that's gone against Israel? Why are they fighting? Well, one nation wanted something their way, and another nation wanted something their way. And when they couldn't have their way, they go to war. Now, when it comes to God, this is a big problem. When it comes to God, and our selfish impulse opposes God, there is a major, major problem. Because you see, God knows what is best, and He knows what's best for us, and He tells us what He wants from us. And so, as a result, we see that not only is sin a heart issue, not only is it a selfish impulse, but it is the transgression of the law. It is the transgression of the law. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So God tells in His Word what He wants from us, but when we go against what He wants for us, then we sin. So, we go to, if you notice in your notes there, that there's these commandments. And what, now, we actually know that there's over 600 commandments in the Old Testament. But of course, most people at least have heard of some of those Ten Commandments. Have you ever been talking to somebody and saying, you know, have you ever heard the Ten Commandments? And they say, oh yeah. And I say, can you name any of them? They sometimes struggle and they'll get a few of them right, like, you know, adultery and murder and, you know, lying. You know, and they'll say some of these things. So what we have here, if you notice in your notes, you know, so, you know, I'll usually try to deal with some of these things. Thou shalt not kill. Now, what does that mean? That means thou shalt not murder. And so Jesus clarifies this as well as in 1 John, that if a person hates in his heart, he already murdered in his heart. Or, what about adultery? Thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus tells us that if a man look upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already. Where? In his heart. See, this is a heart issue. All right, and then what about stealing? You know, thou shalt not steal. So taking something that isn't yours. Or what about honoring your father and your mother? So, you know, so we're saying here that sin is the transgression of the law. And when we go against his law, we sin. And here's the thing, and this is something that I try to remember to clarify with people. You know, people typically don't mind doing what God wants as long as they want it. Right? So, most people, I say most, but many people, they've never murdered. They don't want to be murdered. And they don't intend to murder. And they said, got that one. Of course, you showed them that if a man have hatred in his heart, he murders already. But on the other hand, when God says to honor our father and mother, a lot of people have disrespected and rebelled against their parents. And they make excuses for their actions. And so, the thing is, when God says something, and we don't want to submit to that, we raise our fists and say, God, stay out of my life! I don't want you telling me what to do. And I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And when you start telling me that I cannot have a certain sexual orientation, or when you start telling me that I somehow should not lie, because everybody lies. And the fact is, this is very, very wicked. And when we raise our fists against God's ways, we rebel against Him. And this is why God says our hearts are wicked. Because we will insist on doing what we want to do. I see it many times as a pastor when I'm preaching. I know maybe certain people are fighting with a certain temptation or a certain thing because I deal with them. And they're sleeping while I'm talking about it. They have no intention on going to church more often. They have no intention on living for God. Oh, they'll live for God in the areas they want to live for God, but they don't want to live for God in the way that God says we should live for them. So, we give some illustrations here. Couple illustrations, quick illustrations. Speed limit. Now, if you're going 45 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour road, did you just break the law? Yes or no? Yes, you did. And whether you did it purposely or not, you could still get a ticket because you went and violated that law. A second illustration is a no trespassing sign. So you have a fence that says, do not trespass. And I say, I'm going to ignore your sign. Okay, so you have this sign that says, do not trespass. And I say, I'm going to ignore that sign, and I'm going to climb over your fence anyway. Why? Because I want to. Nobody's going to stop me. Well, I would not only go against your rule or your law, but that would be a rebellion against you. Now, so you know, you use these and you say, well, you know, the same thing is true with God. You break God's laws, you are insulting His person. You are insulting and you are resisting His authority. So you ask the question, have you ever lied? How many of you have ever lied? Okay, that's one that people do. Okay, well, there you go. How about, have you ever disobeyed your parents? How many have ever disobeyed their parents? Or have you ever lusted? I won't ask you that, but all of us have lusted. Have you ever stolen? Have you ever taken anything that you shouldn't have taken? How many have ever done that? Of course. So at your own admission, what did you just admit? You just admitted that you are a lying, rebellious thief. Think about that. And since you have sinned, transitioned, the Bible teaches that there's a terrible consequence for sinning. Now, do you know what that consequence is? Well, that gives us the third point. All right, I need to borrow. Dave's up in the sound room tonight. So, Gage, I'm going to borrow you this evening. All right? And I have just talked to Gage, and we introduced ourselves, and he said, after I've given my testimony, he did not know for sure when he died he'd go to heaven. And if you were to stand before God and he were to ask you why he should let you into heaven, what would you say? And you said, what?
I'm basically a good guy.
Yeah, you're a good guy. I always knew Gage was a good guy. So he's a basically good guy. So he's going to go to heaven. So I want to repeat that. So you're telling me, Gage, that you believe that because of your goodness, when you die, you'll go to heaven. Is that what you're... Okay. I want to show you some good news. So I show them, number one, God is good, a God of love that doesn't want anyone to perish. But people are perishing. You know why? Because this verse right here in Romans chapter 3 in verse 23 says... That Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the Bible here tells us that all of us, that includes me and you. And let me ask you a question, Gage. I don't know anything about your beliefs about God, though you did tell me earlier you believed in God. Remember that? Okay, so you told me that?
Foggy
river. Oh, okay. And you believe in God. If God were to stand right here, do you think you'd be as good as Him?
No.
No, of course not. None of us would be. Why? because the Bible says that unlike God, we have sinned. Now, the Bible tells us that sin is a heart issue. And it tells us that as a sinner, we do bad things because we have a bad heart. As a matter of fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says that the heart is desperately wicked. And we don't tend to always think of our heart that way, but the Bible says we're desperately, desperately wicked. Why? Because of our selfish input. Our selfish impulse is what I meant to say. So our selfish impulse. And the Bible tells us that all we, as sheep, have gone our own way. We have turned everyone to his own way. So the Scripture tells us that we want what we want. That's how we're born. You know, you take a child and they are playing with another child, and one child wants a toy. And you ever seen that? Another child wants a toy. And they start crying or they start hitting each other. Why? Because they want their own way. Or, I know you want to get married, probably sooner as opposed to later. Am I right?
That's the plan.
Okay, so when you get married, let me just tell you something. The Bible tells us now you have two sinners in the same home. And one wants their way, and the other wants their way. And when they both can't have their way, there's many times conflict. Or you take another nation that wants its way, and another nation other than that wants to do things a certain way. When they can't come to agreement with each other, you know what you end up having? Sometimes you have war. Now, when you take that sinful impulse toward God, that's a real problem. Because God knows what's best for us. And He wants us to live for Him. And He wants to give us rules and things that will help us to be better. But you know what? When our selfish impulse goes against God and we oppose God, the Bible says that is rebellion. So, for instance, we're told in the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verse 4, that sin is the transgression of the law. And a transgression of the law means that God has given us certain laws. Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Okay, let me just talk about those for a minute. Can you name any of them?
Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet.
Okay. Right, okay. And so, you know, here you have these laws. Now, many times people don't mind certain laws as long as they don't interfere with their life. But what about when some of those laws go against what you want to do? And so here maybe you're watching a television program and you just love this show. And the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus clarified and said that if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already. And somebody said, well, you shouldn't watch those shows. Wait a minute. You know, so we resist that. Or God says, don't lie. He said, but yeah, but if I don't lie, I'll get in trouble. Or don't disobey your parents. But if I don't disobey my parents, then they're going to have control over me. Or you don't know my parents. So you see, in other words, what you have there is you have a resistance against God's law. Now let me ask you a question, Gage. Have you ever lied?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means that as a liar, then that you have gone against God's law. Have you ever disobeyed your parents?
Yes.
They're right up there, and I'll ask them if you tell me something different. You know. So, of course you have. You know, the Bible tells us not to steal. Have you ever taken anything that wasn't yours?
Yes.
Of course you have. So, the Bible, according to you, tells us that you are a lying, rebellious thief. And the Bible says that's very, very wicked. See, that's what we're saying. The heart is desperately wicked. And the important thing to realize with that you cannot be that way engaged without having consequence. Now, do you know what the consequence of sinning is? Okay, well, that brings us to our next point. All right, thank you, Gain. So, here's the thing. We want to somehow not just walk away, nobody's good. Well, of course nobody's good. But it's not the fact that we have just done some bad things. The Bible tells us we are rebellious. We are wicked. We are very selfish. And this is the thing that people can identify with that. They know they've done that. So, God is good. A God of love who does not want anyone to perish. People are being destroyed, though. Why? Because all men are sinners. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned. All, that includes you and me. We have sinned because sin is a heart issue. Sin is it comes from a selfish impulse. And sin is the transgression of the law. Now, I forgot to give my illustrations, didn't I? I did. So I could have given the illustrations. And I would encourage you to do that because that will clarify things. Especially the illustration about the no trespassing sign. And then, of course, the application. Now, you don't always have time to do everything. But I would say, by God's grace, we do want to bring that across. You say, well, why would that make a difference? Because the Holy Spirit can take that and convince them of their wickedness. And if the Holy Spirit convinces them of their wickedness, we are saying to them, you have a problem. And that problem is that you are a sinner and that sin separates you from God. All right, any questions? Now, Father, help us to be able to learn our verses for this next week. Help us to get out and start talking to sinners so that we might show them from the Bible how they can have everlasting life. Guide and direct us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. So help me now. What verse are we memorizing? 2 Corinthians 5:21. Right? That's 21. All right. Why I didn't have that on my sheet, I don't know. But it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.